Good morning. If you'll turn in the scripture to the scripture in the Pew Bible on page 128, you'll see it'll be Acts 16, 1 through 4. However, if you're like me, who has just discovered really the wonderful red Bible, which is the large print, you'll find that one on 166, okay? If you haven't tried it, nothing like it. Okay, 16. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had the sign of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by the fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are the slaves of the Most High God who proclaim you the way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowds joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them secure. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors were wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and in rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds, and then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, now we'll go to the responsive reading, which is hymn 97, found on page 817 in your choir book. It'll take a few minutes for you to find that. All set? Okay. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround the Lord. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. Fire goes before the Lord and burns up his adversaries round about. The Lord's lightning illuminates the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim God's righteousness, and all the peoples behold God's glory. All worshippers of images are put to shame, who make their boast in worthless idols. All gods bow down before the Lord. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgment, O God. For you, O Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. The Lord loves those who hate evil, preserves the lives of his faithful, and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to God's holy name.
My sisters and brothers, our epistle lesson this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verses 12 through 21. It can be found on page 245 in your New Testament Pew Bible and on page 316 in the large print. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let everyone who hears say, "Come." And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. I warn everyone who hears these words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. The one who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John, a story that has unfolded over these last several weeks. John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. If you take a look at your pew Bible, you'll find that on page 105 in the New Testament. And if you're in the large print Bible, that's on page 136. John 17, 20 through 26. This is the very last part of what Jesus had to say at the Last Supper in the upper room. And this part was the prayer that Jesus was making directly to his Father in heaven. Let us hear these words of Christ. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me will be in them, and I in them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, beyond today's designation as the seventh Sunday of Easter, it is a day most often recognized and celebrated in the church world and in the secular world as Mother's Day. It's also a feast day in the church known as the Festival of the Christian Home. How many of you knew that? Today is the Festival of the Christian Home. Not many. I bet Melba did. She did. But all these meanings are important for today, so I want you to consider them all together. If you are lucky enough that your mother is still living today, I hope that you will have the opportunity to celebrate Mother's Day with her, or at least to speak with her. I realized this week that my own mother, Mim, died 15 years ago this year. Doesn't seem possible. I also realize that I will always miss her. But whether your mother is living on this earth or rather living with Christ, I hope that you will take some time today to honor this special woman who gave you life and who still loves you very dearly. It's pretty clear that in combining Mother's Day and the Festival of the Christian Home, the Church Universal is recognizing what many people believe to be true. That is, that the mother in a family is the foundation, the anchor that stabilizes a Christian home. Now, we certainly could, and we should, have that conversation about the different roles that fathers and mothers play in a healthy and productive Christian home. You might well agree with me in the belief that many men have not taken their full responsibility in the household or in the rearing of the next generation of Christians, but that's a different discussion. Suffice it to say today that mother is an important person in the life of a Christian family. I wonder, though, when you think back about the nature of your family life when you were growing up, what comes to mind? If you're a father or a mother in your mature years, think about how family life was when you were raising your own children. What role did your mother play in your family? And moms, what was your impression of the role you played in your own family? And what does the ideal Christian family look like anyway? If you're like me, you may well remember the ideal family that popular culture tried to sell us. I apologize if my memories are too old for you. Do you remember the TV show Father Knows Best? How about Leave It to Beaver? Was your mom anything like June Cleaver? Well, beyond these ideals, Hollywood tried to show us how it might look in something other than the traditional family setting, so they gave us Fred McMurray in My Three Sons. Now, I bet that you can still hear that theme music in your mind and see those legs with the feet tapping. Can you see that? Well, these TV shows also portrayed to us a little bit about what it looked like to be part of a larger community. I don't remember any shows about what it was like in church communities. My guess is that Hollywood steered clear of such topics. But that begs the larger question. Was your family in any way like the ideal family, whatever that means? My mom was not at all like June Cleaver, thank goodness. And our family had very little in common with anything I ever saw in TV or the movies. And what the heck would an ideal church family look like as well? I don't know. So where do we turn to get a more realistic idea of what it means to be a family? Both the nuclear family of parents and kids, as well as the family of faith that is our church community. Well, I believe, as in every area of life, when it comes to how we are supposed to live with each other, we ought to turn to the Bible for wisdom and direction. On this seventh Sunday of Easter, I want you to focus also on what it means to be a faith community, to focus on our roles in the family of God. Jesus had a lot to say about how his followers were to love each other and work toward unity with each other. Just a reminder of some of the words from John. I ask not only on behalf of these, but on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be completely one, so that the world may know you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Well, as Jesus says He is speaking directly on behalf of his 12 followers. But he is also speaking on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word in the future. The words of Peter and Matthew and Mark and Luke and John in Paul. In other words, Jesus is talking about you and me. When you think about the family in which you grew up, when you think about the family that you raised, it is likely that you don't see a lot of similarities with the Cleavers. When you think about the ideal church family, again, whatever that is, it is likely that you don't see a lot of similarities with Burns Church. I want you to listen to a nice explanation of this reading from John from the website of the United Methodist General Board of Discipleship. We read and hear today from the high priestly prayer of Jesus, a prayer for complete unity of Father, Son, and disciples through the Spirit. However, this unity is not unity for unity's sake, nor is this unity simply for our own enjoyment. It is for another purpose. Jesus prays that we may be one so that the world may know the Father and the Father's love through Christ in us. Individually, yes, but also here especially as communities of faith. From the website. Well, indeed, Jesus is calling us to live in community, to be a people of unity based upon God's love, and through our very lives together to bear witness to God's love to all who would look at our church family. But I can almost guarantee that life in your family, and I know this to be true, that life in our church is messy. That is the reality of people living and working together. If you wanted to get an idea of just how messy it can be, read the epistles in your Bible. And just for starters, take a look at 1 and 2 Corinthians to see how tough life can be. People are people, no matter the time or the place or the culture. Living together in Christian community can be a challenge. Well, again, from the website, from the General Board of Discipleship, our unity, our community, doesn't happen just because we want it to, just because we naturally like each other or even are like each other in some ways. Jesus is not praying for uniformity or homogeneity. Rather, he prays for the fullness of interactivity among differently gifted people that only the Father through the Spirit can bring about. It's that kind of unity, and so that kind of community, that bears witness to the love and grace and being of our triune God. And so, my brothers and sisters, here is some food for thought. On this Mother's Day and the festival of the Christian home, let us not have some romantic or nostalgic vision of what our moms and our families should have been like, but rather, let us remember her as she is or was, and how our lives really were and really are. So too, on this seventh Sunday of Easter, let us be realistic and honest in our assessment of our faith community, but let us recognize that God's standard of family is different from our own. We pray that God's kingdom may come about here on earth so we can join in God's vision of community. You, me, and everyone here, we are called to unity in God's love. Let us work and live to make it so. Amen.